shooting from the lip.
We're taking no prisoners here. Real opinions for real people.
John Gaunt, shooting from the lip.
Hi, good afternoon and welcome to another edition of Shooting from the Lip with me, John Gaunt, on Sputnik International. Got a great guest for you today, the former Welsh MEP, Nathan Gill, who joins me now.
Shooting from the Lip.
Hello, Nathan.
Hello, how are you guys doing?
Very well, thank you. Now, I know you've got a lot to say on COVID and on Boris's handling of what's going on at the moment and whether we need passports and the vaccine rollout, etc., etc. But we'll get to that in a moment. Let's first of all concentrate on the EU Commission when they tried to nab our jabs and the way Boris dealt with it. What did you make of that?
Well, wasn't that bizarre? I think it kind of vindicated everything we've been saying for the last 20 or so years, that the EU are an absolute disaster. And no sooner do we leave than they prove the point for us. They have made an absolute mess of the whole procurement system for getting jabs for European citizens, because they decided it was best for the EU and Brussels to handle it instead of individual nation states. Thankfully, we left. We secured all of our own. 3 months later, 3 months after we secure ours, they then try to start securing their jabs. Of course, by then, Australia and lots of other countries have already purchased them. And von der Leyen, well, isn't that a perfect example of somebody who was promoted well above her station, made an absolute dog's dinner of it. And then this sacrosanct Northern Ireland agreement, you know, the Good Friday Agreement, no borders could ever be on the island of Ireland. And what does she do? Without speaking to the Taoiseach or the Prime Minister of Britain, decides that she's going to stick a border on the island of Ireland. I mean, you can't make it up, can you? Disaster.
Well, you kind of got to admire her on one level, haven't you?
Well, look, I think the Germans, I remember the German MEPs from all different parties when von der Leyen was proposed and put forward as the only candidate to take the presidency of the European Commission. And basically they were like, oh, good, get her out of German politics. She's a disaster. So she's proven she's not capable.
So, look, we might be patting Boris on the back for standing up to her, and he did play a blinder and it made him more popular, but I know you kind of hold a view that, well, he created the situation in the first place with the whole idea of this border. Explain your thinking behind that.
Yeah, I think it's pretty atrocious, actually, that we've got a part of the United Kingdom, which is one of the oldest free trade areas in the world. You know, we've got free movement of goods and people within the United Kingdom, and suddenly one part of the United Kingdom needs paperwork in order to buy and sell goods to the rest of the United Kingdom. We've created a border in the Irish Sea. How on earth in the world any British Prime Minister or British politician agreed to this is beyond me. We warned them. We told them this was going to be a disaster. They couldn't get out of it. But Boris basically just was desperate to get Brexit done at any cost. I'm pretty sure they didn't read all the fine print. And here we are, we're stuck with a border where there shouldn't be one.
Are you suggesting still that he should have walked away and just gone on WTO or however you want to describe it terms?
Yeah, absolutely. We wouldn't have this mess right now. We wouldn't have, the DUP are going to get hammered in the elections coming up in May.
Why?
For the Northern. Well, because the DUP invited Boris over. He came and told them how wonderful it was all going to be. They all agreed to this. And then all of a sudden, he's let them down. I mean, Boris has pretty much let down everybody. And the DUP are at the hard end of it. Their councillors are getting hammered because there's businesses who can't buy the things that they need in order to make their products from the rest of England without having to fill in all manner of paperwork and tariffs or whatever it is. It's crazy. And so they're going to feel the brunt of this.
Yeah, but hold on a minute. Some people are saying, look, we predicted this when people like Nathan Gill and Nigel Farage wanted this. We knew there'd be chaos at the borders. We knew that we wouldn't be able to get our shellfish in particular, you know, in Scotland, back into the EU. It's you, Brexiteers like you, Nathan Gill, that have caused the problem.
Yeah, and you know something? We did say that it would be a bumpy ride. We never promised that there would be wonderful, sunny, you know, grasslands forevermore. Because when you leave home, John, you've got to start building your house, don't you? You haven't got a toaster. You need a microwave and you need all of these things. And you've got to build up your house because you're independent. And initially, you may go home and take your washing back for your mum to wash. But eventually, you're on your own, you're independent, and either you believe in an independent Britain or you don't. It's as simple as that. It is actually a black and white thing. And we believed in an independent Britain, whatever the cost, we wanted it to be us and our politicians making decisions for us. But still, we've got the EU meddling because of the Northern Ireland Protocol. We actually didn't make that clean break, which is what we wanted. And so we're stuck with some of the parts of the United Kingdom still actually really in the EU. It's awful.
So is it Brino? Is it Brexit in name only? Or is it a bit better than that?
I think it's a bit better than that. There are aspects of Brino, but the reality is there will be this divergence. We will continue to forge our path, you know, with the greater world. Mm. And let's face it, this whole shellfish nonsense. Well, right now, the hotels and restaurants in Europe are all closed in any case because of COVID. So they are the biggest purchasers of shellfish from us. Once the summer comes, they're going to have to find a way of solving that problem because they're not going to be able to sell a lot of their products.
Yeah, but they need to sell it quick because a lot of those Scottish fishermen, they came down in their trucks and they'd have lynched Farage if they'd found him. They're going to go bust, aren't they, Nathan? And they're blaming you. Whether it's fair or not, that's who they're blaming.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where the government should step in and say, you know something, we used to buy butter mountains, we used to buy wine lakes mm-hmm. and all of the rest of it. Let's start giving money to these people so they kind of furlough them, if you will. And in fact, pay them to not farm the shellfish so that we can actually get, you know, more growing and more for when we do start farming it again, while we sort out the mess with being able to sell it to Europe.
All right.
Or let's find markets further afield, Japan. You know, we've got all of these planes sat on runways doing nothing. Let's use them.
And I guess we're getting trade deals now. Liz Truss seems to be doing a good job, but you clearly don't think Boris has done a good job on Brexit. What do you make of his handling of the pandemic?
Well, I think it seems to have gone from one disaster to another. I think if you ask anybody, no matter who they are, what their politics, it does look like they're making it up as they go along. And the biggest problem we've got, John, is that nobody knows what the rules are. From one day to the next, nobody knows what they're allowed to do, what's legal, what isn't, what we're supposed to do. And for me, living in Wales, I just think that we do not live in a United Kingdom. We live in four separate legislations that are just desperately trying to make their own rules to make it look like they're independent and different from the other.
Yeah, that's not Boris's fault, though, is it? That's Tony Blair's fault.
That is Tony Blair's fault. I absolutely agree. But Boris, I think, under these circumstances of the pandemic, should have said, you know something, we're going to have a unified approach to this. Bring in the health ministers from the different nations and have a one approach, one size fits all, so that everybody in the country knew what the heck they were meant to be doing. I mean, we've got situations where people got in their cars and drove to Snowdonia to be fined by the Welsh police because they weren't allowed to do it in Wales, but in England they were. Or the situation where I would go to my local Asda not having to wear a face mask because the Welsh First Minister said, I am using the science and the science says we don't need to wear face masks. So in Wales we didn't, but in England they were. I mean, it's just bizarre.
So would the devolved nations have taken this? Would Nicola Sturgeon? Because again, this week she's stolen Boris's thunder. She said the kids are going back in Scotland in a staggered approach, but she says the pubs aren't going to open for ages and ages. She's basically let the cat out of the bag again. And there's many criticisms that she is using COVID to get herself on the telly every day, and it's all about the elections.
Of course it is. And for us in Wales, we're seeing that right now. It's actually against the law to deliver leaflets. It's against the law to campaign. So if you're a small party and you don't have this huge machine and lots of money behind you, how are you supposed to go out there and actually let people know that you're even standing in the elections in May? We've got a candidate for a newly formed party in Cardiff, Neil McAvoy, who actually has received a police caution for delivering leaflets for the campaign.
That's against the COVID law.
Yeah, absolutely.
So can you have a fair and proper election in May, or should those elections have been postponed, like the London mayoral one last year? What do you reckon?
I reckon that we actually should have the elections in May. I think kicking back democracy is not the answer to this whatsoever. But what I do think is that they need to make it so that people can campaign, figure out a way to make it so that people can campaign fairly. Okay. So the smaller parties have as much opportunity as the bigger parties. And quite frankly, why is it that you can pay a company to deliver leaflets, but you can't deliver them yourself?
Yeah, that sounds a bit crazy. What about Mark Drakeford and his handling of it in Wales? Do you think he's done a good job? And what do the people of Wales think about him?
Well, I think it's been patchy. It's been up and down. I mean, I am surprised at how many people are actually pro-lockdown who are quite pro-handing over their freedoms. And it's almost like, give me life at any cost. You know, I'd rather just live in my own house as a prisoner than actually live my life with the dangers that life gives you of catching a cold or getting run over by a bus or whatever it is. And you cannot put life on hold. For a year now, I feel like my whole life and existence has been on hold. And I think a lot of people feel that, John.
Let's go on to the bigger picture at the moment. I just want to come back, if I can, to the devolved nations, because you say Boris should have invited them into the tent, better than being in the tent and doing it outside, if you understand. But would they have accepted it? Would Nicola Sturgeon, would Drakeford have said, yeah, OK, I mean, Eileen would have done probably, but would the others?
I don't know. I hope that they would have done it. I think they should have done it. They should have used legislation actually to bring back, and I'm sure that there is emergency legislation that they can use, to bring it back so that we actually have, again, a national, as in the United Kingdom, national health service, and a national approach to this, because they've all been trying to outdo each other. So we had the circuit breaks, but then in Wales, we had to call it the fire break. It was exactly the same thing, but no, we had to call it something different because we're Welsh, and in Wales, we have to show that we're not the English and we're not being told what to do by the English. And what happened was Mark Drakeford would get wind that Boris was going to do something, and he'd quickly announce that he was going to do it a few days before Boris to try and show that England's following Wales. The whole thing's nonsense. It's playground politics. It's pathetic.
Okay, and of course that's exemplified at the moment with the quarantine thing with the hotels, where Nicola Sturgeon's thinking of building Hadrian's Wall and putting police on the border because she's worried people are coming into England and then won't necessarily quarantine in those hotels. That is one massive fiasco. Do you not agree?
Oh, I totally agree. I think, as I say, we need leadership. You know, we haven't really had good, solid leaders and leadership since the days of Margaret Thatcher and Churchill and the, you know, way beyond. Where are the men and women who are able to have a vision and bring the people along with them and explain it with clarity so everybody knows what their role is in this? Can you imagine in World War II, if nobody knew what the heck was going on or what their role was in helping us to win the war? We'd never have won. But everybody knew what their role was. They all had, you're going to do this, you're going to do that, you're creating this, and this is why we're doing it. And together, we're going to do this great, grand thing.
And we all got behind it, didn't we? People came and took
it. Everybody got behind it. And of course, now, people aren't behind it because people don't know what's going on. So we've got anti-vaxxers, we've got pro-vaxxers, we've got people who want more of a lockdown, people who don't want any of it. You see people not wearing masks at all. You see people swimming out in the ocean far away from people with a mask on. The whole thing's a nonsense.
And the man who has to deal with that, and we'll go on to this in the second half of the programme, and he's going to talk about it on Monday, is Boris Johnson. OK, he's talking about easing the restrictions in England, but he's actually talking about the whole United Kingdom. You're basically saying he's not showing enough leadership. In a word, yes?
In a word, yes. I want to see a United Kingdom. That's what I was born in, John. I want to die in a United Kingdom. I want us to be united in all things. And I don't want this posturing of these separate nations to try and prove that they're different from each other just for the sake of being different.
Okay, stay there. You're listening to The John Gaunt Show. It's Shooting from the Lip with my special guest today, Nathan Gill, the former MEP for Wales. He's already shot from the lip. In the second half, we'll start with Boris. Don't dare go away.
Shooting from the Lip.
We're taking no prisoners here.
Real opinions for real people.
John Gaunt, Shooting from the Lip.
Welcome back to the second part of Shooting from the Lip with my special guest today, Nathan Gill. He was an MEP for Wales, of course. He's already had a bit of a pot shot at Boris over the EU, and he's had a pot shot at him now with COVID. But let's now talk about COVID, if we can. You say he needs to grab this. Well, I've said grab it by the scruff of his neck. What do you want him to say on Monday?
I want him to be really clear about how we're going to get out of this. What it is that, as a nation, we need to do together is in order for us to get back to normal life. And I don't want the new norm. I don't want this where everybody's still wearing face masks in 10 years' time, or all of this nonsense. I want us to get back to where we were 2 years ago, before all of this kicked off. And there are tens of thousands of businesses that will never reopen their doors. There are thousands of people who have now got mental health issues, and there are thousands of suicides as a result of this mishandling. The time has come for him to stand before the nation and say, in clear clarity, we will do this, this, and this, and then as a result, we will go back to normal. That's what I want to hear.
Well, his backbenchers are calling for that, but they want dates. And of course, the scientists have said, no, it's got to be data-led. Where do you stand in that debate?
I actually agree. You know, you can't say, we will do this on the 6th of July, we will do it by Easter, or something like that, because we don't know actually what's going to happen. And nobody knows with these new variants, or whether the vaccinations are going to have any effect. Nobody knows these things. So if they're saying, once we get below 1,000 hospitalizations a day, or whatever the tag, but tell us what it is so that we all know what it is, you know, that we've got a goal, and we know what it is as a nation we have to work for. And bring in Scotland and Wales and Northern Ireland and include them in that, and let's stop having this nonsense of different rules. And you've got a pub at one side of the street that's obeying one set of rules, and a pub on the other side, because they're in England, obeying different rules. Come on, please, let's just be unified in this.
Okay, what about closing the airports? Lots of criticism that he should have done what New Zealand and Australia did back in March, and he didn't. But now they're still not closed, are they, really? What do you think?
No, they're not closed. And it is very bizarre that, quite frankly, you can get in a dinghy in France and come across the channel, and who knows what countries you've been through or what illnesses you've got, and you're put in a hotel paid for, whereas if you come back from Portugal or somewhere like that, you've got to pay, is it
£1,750, I think. You've now got a position, haven't you, where even the illegals, they've been put into four-star hotels, the so-called asylum seekers, and they're saying the food's not good enough.
Yeah.
You couldn't make it up, could you?
Well, I mean, we've had these issues for so long. The whole asylum thing needs sorting out once and for all, you know. But in any case, that's a whole programme, John, and we don't have time for that.
Okay.
What I do want to say, though, is that with regards to holiday making in Britain and things like that, no. And also with regards to people coming here for work, seriously, when we're going to have millions of people unemployed once furlough is over. I just think it's bizarre that we're issuing so many work permits right now to people to come here to immediately go into working, when we're going to have so many people desperate for any kind of job, literally any kind of job people are going to be desperate for.
So we need to keep those jobs for those people. What do you think about the furlough scheme? Was it a good scheme by Rishi?
I think it's unprecedented, and I think it was very visionary, and it certainly has held back the storm that was hanging over the whole nation. But the thing is, I think we've just kind of delayed reality. And the reality is that a lot of these businesses will never reopen. In my own town right now, there are shops which have closed, you know, which just cannot reopen. There's restaurants. There's hotels even on Anglesey which have closed down and put themselves up for sale as houses. It's, I don't know how we're going to claw our way out of this, certainly not immediately. I think they did something that they thought was going to delay absolute disasters of hundreds of thousands of people claiming dole and being made homeless and all the rest of it. But when you spend money, somebody has to pay it. And there's interest involved in that as well. And if you're printing money, then you're creating a bubble, and bubbles have to burst. So my fear, and I think anybody who really knows about these things, understand that actually there's a whole lot of pain about to come over the horizon. And it's all about the financial services. It's all about the fact that we've got grossly inflated money. I mean, I heard the other day that if you've got a $100 bill, American dollar bill, 35 of those dollars were printed last year. Now, that is unbelievable amounts of printed money. So we're in trouble. And I think what's going on in the stock market right now, you know, when we're in a pandemic, when businesses are closing left, right, and center, and it's this huge bull stock market and Bitcoin and all of it, it's everything's going crazy. And I think that's anybody who can see a parallel to the 1920s and 27, I think it was, just before the big crash. There was this crazy frenzy where everybody just started buying shares, like, you know, instead of caring about shares that were going to pay a dividend, they were buying shares hoping they were going to increase in value. Well, that's just a Ponzi scheme, and eventually all Ponzi schemes collapse.
Okay.
So I am a bit nervous about finances.
Okay, so therefore we need to get lockdown over.
Yes.
Well, let's start at the beginning of the lockdown. Do you agree with the lockdown we're in at the moment?
No. Personally, I don't.
Not at all?
No, I don't. It didn't work the first time round. It didn't work the second time round. Why would it work the third time round? Isn't that madness?
Well, they would argue it suppressed that curve, that it actually stopped the NHS getting overwhelmed.
Okay, so they then built those huge hospitals, the Nightingale hospitals, and of course in Wales they called them rainbow hospitals because they have to be different. But in any case, they built them and they were hardly used. So you don't kill your economy just to save the NHS, which is supposed to save people. You know, I don't want to save the NHS. I want the NHS to save me and my family.
But the bottom line is there have been thousands, that we've had over 120,000 deaths. There would have been more if he had just let it rip, wouldn't it?
Well, we don't know that, because the people who it is killing are people with underlying health issues, people who are obese, people who have got all kinds of different health issues, which, you know, is specific. And is it something like one in a million? Whatever the figures are, who it's actually killing. Now, me, I've had it, you know, and I wasn't really affected by it. I've got friends who've had it, who had it quite badly, but they've survived. So we accepted the first lockdown, did we not? Because A, we didn't really know about this thing.
Yeah,
and B, we thought we needed lots of ventilators. We cleared all the hospitals. We stopped doing all, and it became a COVID health service. But that fear, that proved to be, you know, we were too knee-jerk about it, because actually the Nightingale hospitals weren't needed.
Okay, but coming up to date where we are now, the difference now, of course, is we've got the vaccination. And although you've criticised Boris, you've got to say him and Hancock and indeed the British Army and the NHS and the volunteers have done a magnificent job to roll out, what is it, 16 million vaccinations?
They've pulled a blinder. It's amazing what they've done. Absolutely amazing. And I think, you know, we, all of us, can be proud of, as a nation, what we are doing with regards to vaccination. How you feel personally about vaccination is irrelevant. You just look at it and say, well, this is amazing. We're, people who want it can have it. And that's the way it should be. There should be no coercion. You know, you can't go to the cinema or restaurant, or you can't go on holiday unless
you've
had this.
You say that, and then that naturally leads on, of course, to us talking about COVID passports. And undoubtedly, COVID passports are going to come in, whether Boris likes it or not, because Saga says they're not going to let anybody on who can't prove they've been vaccinated. Qantas the same. Whole countries, whole nations, the Greek islands are saying you can't come. So, you know, it is happening, and it might even happen domestically. What do you think?
Well, first of all, I've heard that that's actually against international law. So I'm not sure. I'm not an international lawyer, but I've seen something that said that that is actually against international law. You cannot deny people because they haven't had vaccinations. So that's one. And two, I believe in the free market. So if I own McDonald's, I'm saying don't come to McDonald's unless you can prove you've got this passport to prove that you've had it. Well, that's free market. But I don't want my government saying that. And I can then...
Okay, I've got to stop you there because I want to ask you a direct question then. So say if all the major theatres, all the major cinemas, the Premier League of football suddenly turn around and say, no passport, no entry, you'd think that's fine because that's the free market. And so if we got COVID passports by the back door, in essence, you wouldn't object?
Yes. Yes, because I do believe in a free market, but I don't want it to be the government saying that you must. See, I can vote with my feet and I can find a way around that. And I can find a burger bar that actually says, you know what, I don't care about passports. You can come and eat here. So I'll go and eat at, some local burger bar instead of McDonald's or whatever. You know, that's how free markets work. But fundamentally, I don't believe that my body belongs to the government. And I don't believe that they have a right to tell me what can and cannot be put inside my bloodstream. And, you know, I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I'm not. But I just don't believe that we've got hundreds of years of democracy and building up for freedoms and Magna Carta and the Bill of Rights and all these things for one pandemic. Throw it all down the drain
Hang on. That's really interesting. But you're contradicting your leader, aren't you? Your friend, Mr. Farage, that's not the view he holds.
No, but we don't all have to have the exact same views, you know, and that's the reality of it. And I'm not in a political position where I can make a difference with this, and neither is Mr. Farage, you know. So we can express our own views. I know your views, John, are different to mine.
Yeah, I'd get everyone to have a vaccination and everyone to have a passport. Then we can get back to normal as quickly as possible. Boris is saying the pubs won't open till the end of July. That's no good. That's going to wreck hospitality trade, Nathan.
Absolutely. And I put in a petition, got 25,000 signatures for insisting that in Wales they don't close down any pubs until they actually show us the science as to why pubs had to close. Because in fact, according to the Pubs Association, I think it was something like, I forget the figures now, but very, very few amounts of people were directly related to getting COVID from going to the pub.
I've also noticed you've been tweeting out about students. You think they've been treated badly during this?
Yeah, I mean, if my children were at university right now, I'd be horrified at the huge amounts of money in debt that they're paying. And they're getting a substandard education. And quite frankly, it's all been done over the internet.
Okay. And just before you go then, is Boris going to start turning it round on Monday?
No. No. I mean, leopards don't change the spots, do they? So I think it'll be more bumbling and more nonsense and very little clarity. Sadly, I mean, I want him to. Believe you me, I've lost a lot of money last year through my businesses. And there was no help for me whatsoever. I didn't get a single penny of help. I'm in hospitality. You know, I've got a bed and breakfast. We've been closed for most of the year. We had to cancel hundreds of bookings. It's unbelievable, the cost to us. We want it back to normal. I assure you I do. And I just don't see why it is that we're not allowed to live our lives, why the government is stopping us from living our lives. Because quite frankly, most people are going to get this and never even know that they've had it. And quite frankly, everybody has to get it because it's COVID. You know, it's the flu. We can't just hide in our rooms for the rest of our existence. So let's just grab the bull by the horns and get out there and start living.
Nathan Gill, thank you for joining me. He was shooting from the lip. He's the former Welsh MEP. What do you make of what he had to say? I'll be back next week with another guest just like Nathan. Hope you can join me. Until then, you've been listening to John Gaunt, Sputnik International, and Shooting from the Lip. Thanks a lot.
Shooting from the Lip.
If you've got a view, I want to hear it. If you agree, I want to hear it. If you disagree, get in touch. Tell me why I'm wrong, but you better have a good argument.
This is Shooting from the Lip.